Merle said, this is the first Sunday of 2020. Wow. Just imagine, right? So, this is a good day for us. Today, I would like to follow up what we studied last time. We were, I think we are at a topic that we are traveling, we are sojourning, we are, what do you call this, we're walking, you know, in our Christian life. Before I start, I would like to start on a story, a funny story. Joss and Jack were friends, and they met Christ in their personal life and accepted, but in their life they were arguing, was Jesus black or was Jesus white? So every time they met, Jack was saying, I think Jesus is black, and Joss was saying Jesus is white. So Faith, your friends, they were close friends, and both of them died at the same time. So they went to the pearly gates because they were Christians, and they were anxious. Come on, let's ask Peter, you know, our question when we were down there. So was Jesus black, Jack said, or was Jesus white? And St. Peter said, Buenos dias. Okay, it's only a part of the story. So our sermon this morning is about calming the storms of life. When we came to America, my wife and I, in 1994, we got so many plans. We planned to stay in Queens, in New York, with my two boys. A lot of, you know, like, from back to the Philippines, we were writing and something, you know, planning. So when we reached New York, things happened differently. You know, for a few months, we stayed in Queens. And after a few months, we left New York and moved to New Jersey. It was not a good, an easy plan for us. In fact, it was a little bit hurtful for us, you know, to get out of New York and stay in New Jersey. Because most of our relatives are in New York. My uncle, my aunt, my sister-in-law, my brother-in-law, they were all there. But things happen, right? And I'm pretty sure everybody has plans too. And sometimes life takes you in a different way, and things happen not according to the plan that we wrote and put aside and work on it. And sometimes those plans come in a way that's so bad, it's devastating for some of us. It hurts. It gives you some pain. And sometimes it discourages and depresses us because things that we work with, things that we, you know, we wrote and pray, spend some time, spend some late hours, spend some, you know, really, really sacrifice so that this plan, and, you know, we were counting, you know, things already, right? Oh, this thing will go so good, you know, because I wrote everything in a piece of paper and write everything, the scenario that will happen, you know, people that you wanted to talk to, you put everything in proper perspective. But things happen. And things happen not according to what we plan. Right? We plan for our kids. We plan for their education. We plan for so many things. And, you know, I don't really, really discourage you not to do that. Because sometimes we are people of, you know, we like to write things, you know, according to the sequences of what is available for us. but sometimes life takes us on a turn that is so hard to swallow and sometimes hard to accept. It really hurts, you know? It really hurts. And it devastates us. This morning I want to read a story from Luke chapter 8. I guess you're familiar with this story. If you have your Bibles with you, you can turn to with me on these verses. Luke chapter 8. Beginning from verse 22. Okay, let me hear. One day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into the boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown. I'm sorry." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." The story goes that they wanted to go to the other side of the lake, continue his ministry. So it started on a peaceful or a happy or it's just an ordinary boat ride from this portion of the lake to the other side of the other side of the land. And then a storm came and swamped their boat. So it started a small, jolly ride, boat ride, and it turned out to be a dangerous ride. You know, troubles in life come sometimes unexpectedly. It's like I told you earlier. Sometimes trouble comes when we are following Jesus. We're stepping with Jesus and trouble comes. Right? We are enjoying, we are, faithful and, following the words of Jesus Christ and, actively participating at church, doing some ministry, and suddenly trouble comes. That means really. One first lesson we can study this morning is, sometimes life takes its turns. Even when we are there, we are surely following Jesus Christ, when trouble comes. That means life will turn us in a different situation, even when we are following Jesus Christ. All right? That's a lesson for us today. God never promised, that it will be an easy ride. Right? It struck me, I guess, when I was reading these verses, that life, will take us turns also. Trouble comes when we are, really following Jesus Christ, in focus, in life. Life will be in trouble. Christ never said that life would be easy when we are following Christ. Right? And what did the disciples do? And sometimes when these things happen, when things are in trouble, it says there, Jesus is asleep. It gives us a wrong information that, expectation that when trouble comes, we feel like Jesus is sleeping. It's like, oh, where is God in this situation? Where is He? We feel like God abandoned us. We feel like God is not, doesn't care with our situation. He seems so far. He seems doesn't care. He seems like, you know, he seems like our faith is you know, it's troubled, and we become restless and we become anxious because our situation is not, you know, is not the thing that we plan in our life. And we feel like God abandoned us. You know, faith is not an emotion. Sometimes people think that faith is an emotion. You know, let's not forget, faith is not an emotion. It is not like we feel. What we feel every day in our lives, and like, oh, I feel good. So, no. Faith is a trust that God has the ability to answer our trouble. Faith is a trust in the Word of God. Okay? It doesn't depend on our emotion or what we feel this morning, what we feel today. Faith is a trust that we trust Jesus Christ, that He said, you know, I will help you. I am all the way with you, even in trouble. Let's open John chapter 14. John chapter 14, it says, John chapter 14, verse 1, it says, let me open my Bible. Says on this verse that He will be with us, right? Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. That's faith. That's faith. Faith doesn't, you know, rely on our emotions. Faith is trusting God that He's there to help us. Faith is trusting God has ability to change our situation and to answer our prayers and be there. You know? And God said that. We trust His Word and we trust God because, you know, He's there for us. He's there for us. And faith is that. Trusting God, you know, and believing that He can change our situation. We trust God, and we are trusting His ability to fulfill His promise for us. God has all promises. He has promised us to, you know, to be with us to the ends of the world. He will do that, and we must put our trust in Him. Okay, another lesson, I guess, when we studied you know, that story, when we are troubled, when we have testing in our faith, God is there. Jesus is on the boat with us. Meaning to say, if we have Jesus in our midst, we are in good, what we call this, company. Right? If we know Jesus Christ in our life, we are in good company. Right? The Bible said, if God is for us, who can be against us? Right? Let's read those verses in Romans. Romans chapter 8. Let's start with 31. If we know God, if we know Jesus Christ, we are in good company. You know, if we are in trouble, Jesus is on the boat with us. If we are with God, who can be against us? It says over here. Romans 8, verse 31. It says over here, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He be not also along with Him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any change against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died. More than that, who was raised to life, is in the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword, as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long, and we are considered a sheep to be slaughtered. No, all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am not convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Right? Who can be against us? If God is our partner, you know, no matter how long it is, no matter how painful it is, He promised us. Right? He promised us. If Jesus is for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us? Right? If God is working with us, He's on the boat for us, actually. He's there. You know, He's the Prince of Peace. He will calm down, you know, the storms of life in us. He will give us hope and He will give us peace. Because you know what? He is the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6. The peace I give to you, not the world offers. It's different. It's a different peace. Different peace that comes inside. That even though trouble comes, we have a hope. This trouble will come to an end. Not on our time, but God's time. God's time is different from our time. And we have to have trust and faith that God will give us that understanding of the trouble that we face daily. A lot of people are like, oh, let's talk peace, let's negotiate, but they haven't turned away yet, then the peace is broken already, right? Because they offer different peace, but God differently offer peace. Peace of hope. We're hopeful people, right? Christians, believers are hopeful people. We hope, we trust, because God will calm the storms of life. Alright? And then there's another lesson to the story. Alright? If we feel afraid and we're tired, you know, the apostles, the disciples were, you know, were afraid. They were afraid because it's not only the squalls of the wind. You know, the boat is taking water, right? And they're ready to sink. That's not a good situation. So they did, you know, they did something. They tried to take out the water. Tried to, you know, take the water out of the boat. I don't know how big is the boat. You know, I never had experience. One time I had a boat ride with my wife. We don't have the relationship yet, you know, but I was looking at her already. So we kind of do the same, ride on the same boat. And the boat, I don't know, I still remember the name of the boat is Sweet Roro. It's like Manila to Cebu because we were attending the same conference, you know. So I'm kind of, that's the first time I ride a big, you know, ship. It's like it takes at least 1,000 passengers from island to island. But when you look at the list of people coming in, going inside the ship, it's more than 1,000. Because whenever they said, "Oh, it's open to board," people are jumping from the ground to the ship. And maybe, you know, if you think of it, maybe that ship, now I can recall, maybe it took me more than a thousand people, and that's a no-no. Yeah, it's overload. You know how the ship before in the Philippines, you know, sometimes you're not on the list. You just pay somebody on the other side, and you can jump and goes to whatever trouble you want. And that's a no-no. You know, maybe your name is not on the manifesto. And it happens a lot, right? It happens a lot. Especially that part of the world. It's scary. So when I wrote the boat, I still remember I always looking at the life jacket. Life jacket of the boat. So when anything happens, you know, I can take a life jacket and see what happens. So maybe the apostles were, you know, trying to solve the problem, taking the boat was taking water, doing themselves, you know, a favor by taking the water out of the ship, out of the boat. But nothing happens. The boat is still sinking. You know what they did? They wake up Jesus. Maybe Jesus was tired because he was doing some ministry. You know, we can do the same thing if we are in trouble. Call on Jesus. Call on Jesus. I remember my son, my second son, Daryl. You know, my son of mine is a lot of sacrifice with him because every week when he was growing up, he was sick. Almost every week he was on the hospital. Almost every week, I'm telling you. My wife can testify. He was a weak baby actually when he was, you know, when he was born. He's always sick for whatever reason. But you know what? He became more taller than anybody on the family. But he was sick. Whenever I see this child, you know, my son, I still remember when we always put him in the hospital and, you know, the nurse or the doctor were like pinching him, like, you know, sometimes the pain is not there anymore. And they put the, you know, the needle on his head because they cannot find anything anymore over here. And they find it on the head. If you see your son like that, it's, you know, keeps you pain after. Worrisome. One time I cried to the Lord. My wife can testify, Lord. I said to him, if you want my son to be with me, I promise you, I'm going to offer him to you. That's my prayer. Please give me my... Because I'm so tired. Yeah, maybe 3 years he was always sick. I'm not making up stories. Almost every 10 days, he'll be in the hospital. And we're so tired a lot of times, going back and forth to the hospital. I don't know why, really, to be honest with you. I don't know. Good 3 years, he was always there. And he was so thin and bony when he was growing up. Because of the situation. And I told God, God, if you want me to wear him up and raise him like a, you know, an adult person, I will offer him to you. And God did, was able to raise him up. I told him the story every now and then. Sometimes he likes it, sometimes I guess he's tired of listening to it. But the lesson this morning, if you are troubled, wake Jesus up. It's like the disciple did. Call on the name of Jesus. Tell him you are in trouble. You know, Jesus, I am in trouble. Wake him up. Actually, he's not sleeping, but the story said he's sleeping. Maybe he's tired because, you know, he's been traveling for his ministry. Call in the name of Jesus Christ. He will calm the storm within you, and he will calm the storms around you. Why? Look at the story. He spoke. God spoke to the wind. And the wind came down. And there was no storm anymore. See what Jesus can do? Call on His name. You know, Jesus, I'm in trouble. Jesus, I need your help. Jesus, I'm in big, big trouble. Please help me. Call on His name. Remember His name. Because He can calm the storms in your life, inside you. And He can calm the storms around you. Before I end my sermon, I would like to Melissa to play a song that I've been listening since actually I've been listening to it a long time ago, but struck me this week. I could listen to this song and let Melissa play it. I want you to listen to it and, you know, maybe get the message. Because a lot of times we are in trouble and we call so many things in our lives that really doesn't help us. So let's hear the song and then we'll just pray after that. Maybe a few verses of the song.
In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, oh give me Jesus. You can have all this world, oh give me Jesus.
Jesus is enough, the Bible said. Whatever situation we have right now, is ask God to give us peace. It's like I said, He will calm the storms within you, inside you, and He can calm the storms around us. Because He can speak to the wind and calm it down. Right? I know this year is a good year for us. That doesn't say we will not be exposed to trials and troubles. Thank God Jesus is on our side. Call on Him. Let's call on the name of Jesus. Because He cares for us and He loves us dearly. Let's bow our heads. Oh God, we are people of many, many weaknesses. And we respond to things around us differently. Sometimes we become so weak. Sometimes we doubt. Sometimes we're trying to give up because we can't see any light at the end of the tunnel. But today, this morning, oh God, thank you for the example of your ministry when you are on a boat with a disciple and trouble came in without any warning at all. It will come to us without any warning at all. That even though we want to follow you, O God, life will take us on different turns. And unexpectedly, O God, give us different reaction. But the Bible said we have to call on you. And thank you, O God, that we know you. And we can rely on you. Faith doesn't rely on our emotions, O God. Because faith is to trust and to believe your ability. And thank you, O God. You are the Creator. And you have the ability to calm the storms in our life. So we surrender to you this morning. Help us to rely on you, O God. And thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. All these things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I think we have an invitation song.